listen to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson to be learned. You better just open up your eyes and see the lesson. Well, good morning, Remnant, and welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ. This Sunday morning, hey, it's still springtime, May 25th, 2025. This Memorial Day weekend, unofficially the beginning of summer, but we know we've still got a couple more weeks, and that'll be coming up here about mid-June. But we thank you for joining us this morning. We hope you're prayed up. We pray that you are abundantly blessed. And again, we thank you for joining us. We start out here with the pistol prayer. Remember that, and we'd be glad to send it to you on a Bible bookmarker. We've sent many of them out, and it's effective. I think it's a good reminder, and we see it working. It's why we keep praying it. You know, if you do something and it doesn't work, well, you need to try something else. But when you do something and it works, well, you stay with that. And that's how I see this pistol prayer. So we're going to pray it. I hope you'll join us. Lord Jesus, we pray with thy authority, we say, DC sorcery cease, satanic strongholds release, Baals be broken and bound, with all idols be cast down. Stop the spells, send the spellcasters into hell. Jesus, cause it to be. And thank you for the victory. Amen and amen. Well, lots going on. I try to stay out of politics as much as I can in these little review of the news. There's plenty of other going on, and so... However, that just kind of works into how, I mean, we see politics coming into play, in so much of what we've got going on in our land today. But, want to go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, you know, when we read the scriptures so many of the scriptures, certainly they're dual and triple prophecies, and they mean something literally. They have a figurative meaning. They have a, they look back into the past. And tell what's happened before, and they look to the future and tell what's going to happen. And I see this. I thought this was appropriate this week. I've been looking at these a couple of these articles for the last few weeks, and had a new one come across just this week. So this is what we're talking about this morning. Matthew 7. Let's take a look. Verse 15 and through 17. It says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly... they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit." And the first part it talks about there is a warning about wolves, because throughout history, wolves have been a problem. In the wild, they attack the sheep, they attack the young, they all attack children if they can. Everybody remembers the Little Red Riding Hood, and guess what? The wolf was the bad guy. It's just how it was. Well, it's that way in the physical, it's that way in the spiritual as well. We'll start with the physical, because wolves are back. You know, when this nation was settled, they were abundant, and we got rid of them, but guess what? They're back. Here's a pair out in California. Wolves are back. First, we'll start in California, because this was a new report just this week. Gray wolf attacks spark states of emergency in California counties. A handful of counties across Northern California have declared states of emergency in the wake of increased wolf activity. Shasta, Lesson, Modoc, Plumas, and Sierra counties have adopted local emergency resolutions, with Shasta being the latest. In a May 14th, so this is current, in a May 14th emergency announcement, city said the wolves had demonstrated bold abnormal behavior, including attacking livestock without feeding, and killing cattle near rural residences occupied by families. And here's a quote: "This isn't just about livestock losses. These wolves are coming too close to homes, showing no fear of people, and putting our rural families at risk," says Shasta County Supervisor Corky Hartman in a statement. "We need state support and practical tools to protect our residents." Now, the things that they're saying are the things that have always been said about wolves: bold, abnormal behavior, killing cattle and not feeding, coming up close to homes and killing, because it's what wolves do. Saw this last or last couple things in California. Wolves were responsible for at least 19 cattle deaths statewide between October and December. Incidents had of killing cattle called depredation have increased steadily with the growing wolf population, growing from 6 in 2019 to 54 in 2024. Now, this is in California, where they reintroduced them, what, almost 15, 20 years ago. And it's grown to this. Thought this was interesting, too. Ranchers are not allowed, see, there's rules. Ranchers are not allowed to shoot at or around the wolves because of their protection under the California Endangered Species Act, a restriction that proponents for loosening these protections feel isn't reasonable. One rancher told the Desert Sun that because cattle are such easy prey and ranchers aren't allowed to shoot in the air to scare them off or use beanbags or rubber bullets, nothing as deterrence, the situation turns into an all-you-can-eat buffet. And so you think, well, that's California, though. Those, you know, they're just with the type of leadership they have and whatnot, but that's California. But guess what? It's right here in Colorado as well. It is. Wolves are back in Colorado. This picture here was they gathered together. You see these guys. Oh, they were so happy to be transplanting this this black wolf. They were, I think even the governor joined in on this and got his picture in there. But they were so tickled here recently to do this. If you hit this, you show this next one there, Jason. That's the watershed areas with wolf activity that they've recorded from the collared wolves, okay? And you see Boulder over to your right. Denver's down at the big conglomeration of all the highways. Vail right there and Steamboat Springs. So you see it's all mountainous. It's all rural areas where we like to live. And that's where the wolves are. But when Colorado narrowly passed the whatever you call it, injunction to bring wolves back, it was like by from 51% to 49%. And it was the people living in the cities that said, oh, yeah, let's bring the wolf back over there where you live. And that's what's happened. So wolves are back in Colorado as well. 15 wolves were brought to Colorado from Canada in January again, during the second round of reintroductions. As of May 16th, two males and two females have died. On March 16th, the male wolf was killed by wildlife services in Wyoming after it was found at a property where multiple sheep had been killed earlier that day. That's in Wyoming, not Colorado. April 9th, a male wolf died after traveling into Wyoming. And on April 20th, the female wolf died in the Rocky Mountain National Park in northwest Colorado. Now, when you read the news reports and they talk about this wolf reintroduction into Colorado, they say, oh, well, they haven't traveled beyond the state. They haven't they really haven't gone south of 70, and they haven't gone north into Wyoming. But Wyoming Game and Fish have killed two wolves. But they don't release details about that. Oh, they might talk to the one rancher that's having problems, but they sure don't put it out in the news. I found a couple pictures of things that a way to fix this. You know, again, the Bible talks in some places about going back to the old ways, right? The old wisdom. And if you can hit these next couple pictures, Jason, this worked before. This was actually a Canadian with his dogs. They look like greyhounds, don't they? Do you remember Pastor giving that message about having, I thought it was greyhounds that they had, that they'd run coyotes out in the sandhills. So this was back in the day, a Canadian guy. Guess what? This is Kansas. That's Kansas in the day. And they got rid of wolves in Kansas for the most part. They really did. Because it worked. There's a way to get rid of them in the wild, and it works. One more there, Jason. I think it was one more. It was Montana. There's up in Montana. It works. Oh, they can be gotten rid of. They can, because they are predators. And as the reports say, they don't kill just to eat. They kill for sport. Again, Matthew 7:15 says, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. And it is that way. It's that way in the wild, and it's physically, and it's that way spiritually as well. Oh, that our people would be aware of that. But, you know, when you have a people that don't read the Bible, when you have generations that aren't reading the Bible, well, it's easy to, what do they say, pull the wool over their eyes? Where do you think that comes from? It's easy to have them blinded. A little summary here in a couple scripture verses. We'll move on here. But a mark of a false prophet's teaching is severing the link between righteousness, obedience, and salvation. Proclaiming peace, peace, when there is no peace. You can see that in Jeremiah. And using their office to whitewash sin. You see that in Ezekiel. And that's what we have. We have sin is not preached today by these false prophets, by these wolves, these thieves. Because it's sin that keeps us away from our God. And our enemy understands this better than most of our people do. And so, like this says, they whitewash sin. They tell you how good Jesus is and how much he loves you. And how much just, you know, oh, the rapture practice on Tuesday night and all that. But they don't tell you about sin. They don't tell you that you know, to love God is to hate evil. You don't hear that stuff preached. And what sin is, 1 John 3:4, transgression of the law. Because when you have a society that just loves sin and loves lawlessness, and you see here in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, but I came, that my sheep will have life, they will have everything they need. That's a God's Word translation. I thought that was interesting. Have everything they need, life and life abundant. And that's what we want. I want to remind you, you know, Jason's done a great job playing, I think, this Wolf and Sheep series by Mr. Richard Kelly Hoskins. Just found and got part 4 redone. I don't recall really remembering that part 4, but a great series, eye-opening, foundational, and by the responses we've gotten, it's really hit home with a lot of people. I wanted to give you a quick summary here on just some messages that we have on these wolves, because Pastor sure addressed it his way. We can hit that next slide, Jason. These messages on wolves by Pastor Peters. He's got the CD series on the dirty birds. Same concept, just a different name. 6 CDs, the Dirty Birds series, the Dirty Birds in the Pulpits. CD number 250, an oldie but a goodie, The Kingdom Part 2, is called The Wolf Business. CD 900, Wolves After Our Little Sheep. And CD 1100, Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. And that was our DVD church message from November 12th of 2006. So we've got that on that DVD as well. And then, of course, by Mr. Hoskins, The Wolf and the Sheep 4-part series. And we have that on CD or DVD if you'd like. Again, we've just played them. They're replaying in the archives. And if you'd like them for a little follow-up or maybe to share, we've got them. Just write and ask for them. Remember our network website, sfawbn.com. Tons of information there, the Newswire. We try to keep that updated with breaking events. And if you've got things happening in your neck of the woods you want to share with us and share with the remnant, you can email them. You see the email there, jason@sfaw.org. And just email them in. We'll do our best to share them with the remnant. Well, it is Memorial Day weekend. A couple more scriptures for you and just a quick review. But we'll go to John. John 15:13 is a reminder that greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And, you know, when Christ was saying this, it's the same way as with the wolves, that, you know, it has a literal meaning, a figurative meaning. It goes back to previous days, and it's a prophecy in the future. And, of course, he was telling his disciples that how much he loved them and that he would lay his life down for them and for us. And that is the greatest love that there's ever been, that God would do that. Well, and we do our best to remember that, first and foremost, because that allows us to be here. That allows us to thrive. This weekend is Memorial Day here in the United States of America. It's a weekend. Tomorrow is a holiday for many. It's a federal holiday, and it's a day to remember and honor those in the armed services that died in the armed services that are no longer with us. Memorial Day, a national holiday in the U.S. to honor and remember the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. It's observed on the last Monday of May. The day's roots lie in the tradition of decorating graves of fallen soldiers, particularly after the Civil War. And originally set up, it's a time for reflection and remembrance, not a time for celebration. And I thought that was an interesting summary of it, that it is. Now, of course, there'll be lots of celebrating. I've seen traveling today and yesterday and Friday, lots of trucks pulling boats and campers and things like that. A three-day weekend, the end of spring, the beginning of summer is kind of how people look at it. But I think that just as Jesus was telling his disciples that greater love has no man, that he lays down his life for his friends, that the wars that our soldiers have died in, right or wrong, that they did that for their friends. They did that because their nation called them to do it, and they did it for the person on their left and the person on their right. It's the way I look at it anyway. So if you get tomorrow off, if you have a nice three-day weekend, we hope you enjoy. But remember that in the physical, those that have come before us have made it so we're not speaking Japanese today, as well as the original and the greatest love of our Lord and Savior who died on the cross for us. Well, I think that's what I had for you this morning. Thanks for being here. Stay tuned. We've got a great Timeless Truth coming up for you, and maybe a little smorgasbord. We'll see. And God bless.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war, to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king, Paul Revere cried his alarms, and the people took up arms, and they fired up their guns in the greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won, and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew the strength and courage from his power upon high, and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. Through the toil and the tears in the last 100 years, we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and life. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and the global overlords now surround his holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high, and bow to do his will on earth, and rise up and defy the lie, and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high, and bow to do his will on earth, and rise up and defy the lie, and cry this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel.